You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Wednesday, November 18th, and today we've got a special guest and friend, Dean Iampietro from Channel 11 WPXI here in Pittsburgh. He'll join us to talk about several topics for the team, including which Steelers are most deserving of different awards. Then we'll also dip into what were the best Tomlinisms of Tuesday's press conference. We actually had a few, so we want you to hear what we think were the best. We'll debate, we'll pick our own, and then we'll have you vote in the Locked On Steelers Facebook group, which you can join by just searching Locked On Steelers on Facebook. You're asked to join the group, I'll add you as soon as possible, and you can get your voice heard with the poll that's going to be posted there. Then we're going to finally talk about the Steelers secondary with some advanced coverage statistics that just show how good they've been playing this season. All that and more right on today's show. Today's episode is brought to you by Pepsi. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. I like to watch this season when I'm going over game footage to see how TJ Watt gets a lot of his sacks. When I do, I like to drink a nice cold Pepsi. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through your game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Let's get into it. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. It's Wednesday, November 18th. We're getting in the middle of the Steelers' road game against the Jaguars. Week tomorrow, we'll have crossover Thursday. But before we do that, we got to bring on our friend, our buddy, our guy from Channel 11, the sports desk there, Dean Iampietro from WBXI Channel 11 here in Pittsburgh. Dean, how you doing, my man?
I am doing great, Chris. It's another beautiful, snowy week here in Pittsburgh, so I'm really excited.
He literally means that because it started snowing today, and Dean, I don't know about you, I hate snow, so I was just screaming at the sky, no, because I hate the snow.
Well, tell you what, I got to buy some tires because mine are near bald, so in fact, if anybody has any ideas where I won't totally break my bank, I am open to those ideas because I got a quote yesterday from someone and I was like, oh hell no.
Okay. That's rough. Okay, yeah, so if anyone can help Dean, hit him up in the Facebook group. Also, you can join the Locked On Steelers Facebook group by searching Locked On Steelers on Facebook. But Dean, let's get to our first topic of the day with you being here on the show. Got to look at this here now. Tony and I talked about this yesterday a little bit, and you can listen to our conversation on that with Tony Tuesday episode. But there's a lot of conversation poking up now about awards season because, you know, we're past the halfway point, and that's where you start to hear more conversations about awards and Pro Bowls and All Pros and MVP and Defensive MVP and Rookie Players of the Year, all those things. Now, one thing that I said yesterday, We'll start with here, and this is around Ben for two different awards. One, Ben potentially getting the award for Comeback Player of the Year. And then two, I brought up yesterday, he might start to peek into the MVP conversation if he continues on the trajectory he is. Not that I think that he's going to win MVP, but he's fifth in the league with touchdown passes, and his team is undefeated. Where do you see Ben in those conversations?
I see him as more likely and more deservingly winning the Comeback Player of the Year award. And I know a lot of people are pointing now at Alex Smith, and his story is a great one. And he overcame a ton just to come back and play. And I appreciate that. But I feel like given Ben's, you know, he doesn't like to talk about his age, but his age,
yeah,
and coming back from the full season off and the arm and everything. And you're starting to tell, and just if you read between the lines and some of the things he says, he's feeling 38. Okay. Mm-hmm. He's feeling it when he plays, and he's shaking his hand all the time and his elbow, and he's icing down, and he's got the veteran Wednesdays off. I mean, he's feeling it. Okay. He's not just trucking through this season like he's 25 years old. So to me, as long as he stays on his trajectory, Ben Roethlisberger to me is a lock for comeback player of the year without question.
Okay.
He is not in the MVP conversation.
Really?
He is not in my MVP conversation. There used to be four quarterbacks, and now there are only three. And let's be honest, the MVP is a quarterback.
Oh, of course.
Because that's what they do. Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, not Russell Wilson.
What?
Nope, he's out of the conversation. He's out. I'll get to him. Who's the, you know, it's funny as I am forgetting the third one now. What am I forgetting,
now,
Chris?
Now who's talking about old age?
Oh, yeah, because I got the old age for sure. Who am I forgetting? I am legitimately forgetting somebody. I can't think of it right now. Wow, I mean, my brain just went totally dead. This is awesome.
You know, maybe Kyler Murray. Maybe.
Kyler Murray, thank you. Yes, okay. Kyler Murray. I would put the three of those. Kyler Murray, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, ahead of Ben Roethlisberger in the conversation.
Okay.
Now, MVP, here's the thing. Man, define what MVP is in terms of who's voting for it. Is it the most valuable player to his team, or does it really end up just being who's the best player in the league?
See, I think when it comes to being the most valuable player to your team, I think that's what that means. That's why I've always rated it. And to me, and you and I have had this discussion off camera before, that's why I thought it was okay for Lamar Jackson to win it last year, because I legitimately think if you take a guy who threw 36 touchdown passes and only six interceptions and then ran for even more touchdowns with his legs, if you take him off that Ravens team, not only do they not win the division, I don't think they come in third. I think that they are a horrible team without him right now. And especially
that
this
end. Okay. To that end, does that then not negate a Ben Roethlisberger argument? Because the Steelers went 8-8 without Ben.
So here's my thing about that: they're 9-0 with Ben.
Okay. Like, before Ben was injured, they were 1-2, right? And they had a losing streak the year before. So I don't feel like if you take any starting quarterback off a team, they're not the same team. If you take away Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City's not the same. If you take away Russell Wilson, Seattle's not the same. If you take away Aaron Rodgers, take away Kyler Murray, none of them are the same. Okay, yeah. And the Steelers right now, certainly not the same. So that argument can be made for every single one of those players. So then you do have to look at the value of how they specifically play and how they change the game. Ben Roethlisberger is managing the games, and he's, you know, they're getting, certainly there is no balance in this offense whatsoever, and they are a passing offense, you know, what, 75% of the time, it seems like. Mm-hmm. I just, the eye test and what I'm watching from a Rodgers and a Kyler Murray, who's my dark horse actually, but Patrick Mahomes, I don't know how you could top at this point, unless he falls off the same cliff that Russell Wilson's falling off, Patrick Mahomes. He's the MVP. He's the guy. I don't even know how you could put Ben in Mahomes' league right now.
So the only thing I say to that, because I do agree that Patrick Mahomes is your leader and everything, but I will say that, you know, when someone says in the same league, I look at Ben and I see a guy who over the past three games he was the offense. He was it.
Yeah. I that's wrong way to phrase it. Ben's in their league. Okay. He's in the top four.
That's what I'm saying.
Guys, I'm not saying right now.
Number one, number two, or
but
even
four.
Three. But I'm saying he's in that four conversation. He's, and this is the highest I think that you could ever say he's been to get into that conversation. And that's where I'm coming from.
Yes, absolutely. But I think it would take a dramatic fall by Mahomes and Murray and Rodgers for Ben to get that spot.
No, I agree. I'm not picking him to win MVP, but I my point was, I think with the play that he's put on, again, he is the fifth most touchdown passes, And one of the guys that's ahead of him right now, Tom Brady, has also played in one more game and only has one more touchdown and has thrown three more interceptions than him.
Brady's not in the conversation.
Right.
He's not.
I don't think he should be.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson, I think that he's hitting the wall because you're looking again, that Seahawks team is just depleted. They don't have a run game. They barely have a line. They don't have a defense. Their move to get Jamal Adams has completely backfired. And now Russell Wilson, he was amazing in how he was carrying them that whole time, but not anymore.
I have to admit, I might be a little bit tainted about Russell Wilson.
Why is that?
Because he's my fantasy football quarterback.
Okay.
And he has been hurting me the last few weeks.
So this is
I'm sure that in your Fantasy Football Insider that airs on Channel 11 Wednesday night on WPXI Now, that you rate him in the
– there's the plug.
Not category in the hot or not, because he's not. And I'm probably benching him for Justin Herbert this week.
That's an interesting play, man. I don't know. I think that's going to be a shootout between the Cardinals and the Seahawks, man. I'm starting this week.
He's frustrating me. But he's dropped off. He has dropped off precipitously.
There
dropped
you go. Off.
Thank you. He's not in the MVP conversation anymore to me at all.
All right,
absolutely
not. We got to keep moving with these awards here.
Yes.
We got a few more things before I got
yeah.
to break. Next up is one that I think is interesting. Chase Claypool as potentially offensive rookie of the year. Chase Claypool is putting up impressive numbers right now. He right now, I believe, has the second most touchdowns of all wide receivers in the NFL right now total. Now, that's fifth most in total receiving touchdowns because he has seven receiving touchdowns, but he also has two rushing, and that ties him with total touchdowns with Devontae Adams, the only person, and Adam Thielen, the only receiver that has more receiving or more total touchdowns than him right now is Tyreek Hill, who has nine receiving and one rushing. I think that's worth acknowledgement when you look at him. But my problem with this, Dean, is that when you look at the bottom line, like MVP, Offensive Rookie of the Year usually goes to a quarterback, and you've got three first-round picks that are showing out right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know I get the impression from people's comments in the Locked On Steelers Facebook group that there's immediate anti-Steeler bias concerns about this, that people think that he won't get the votes because he's a Steeler. And the only place that that's legitimately true, guys, this is real talk. The only place that an anti-Steeler bias in voting is true right now is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, because there are so many Steelers in there.
I would also say Coach of the Year, because Chuck Noll never won it.
Yeah, Chuck Noll should have won it at least twice.
At least two times. I think Bill Cowher won it once. But for whatever reason, the Steelers head coaches do not get their flowers.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I can agree with you on that. But I just don't see, like, if Claypool doesn't get it, and it's more of an anti-quarterback bias, not an anti-Steeler bias. And I'm not sure why voters, you know, and it's become that way with the Heisman Trophy. It's become that way with MVP, and it's become that way with Rookie of the Year. It's why is it just quarterback? You know, I mean, I think that Claypool and Jefferson from Minnesota are two guys that you got to look at and say, one of these guys does deserve this recognition. Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert have done a real nice job, but, you know, the Steelers kind of welcomed Joe Burrow to the AFC North last week, and Chase Claypool scored two touchdowns. So
they certainly did. Now, and when you compare him to Justin Jefferson, you've got Jefferson has caught 42 passes for 762 yards, but only three touchdowns. Now, Claypool has caught 35 passes, seven less than Jefferson, 500 yards, 262 yards less than Jefferson, but four more receiving touchdowns and two more rushing touchdowns. Jefferson hasn't even rushed the ball once this season. I think that would be an interesting debate if both of them stay on this trajectory towards the end of the season. Now, the other thing, of course, you also got to consider Chase Claypool working with a Hall of Famer, Justin Jefferson working with Kirk Cousins.
Right, but you also have to consider how many other equally talented receivers as Justin Jefferson working with compared to who Claypool's working with. True. And, you know, you've got Ebron and Juju and Deontay Johnson, you know, and James Washington, James Conner catching the ball.
Yeah.
There's a lot there, a lot of balls to spread around there, and he's still only got 7 fewer catches than Jefferson and more touchdowns. You know, I might give him the edge there. But it's unfortunate that it just goes to a quarterback. That's where the bias is. And I mean, I think Steelers fans who, you know, hold their candle to this and get upset about this, just brace yourself because it's going to be either Burrow or Herbert. And at the end of the day, that's okay, because the only award that really matters is that Silver Lombardi.
It certainly is. And I'm sure Steelers fans would rather take that over than any individual award. But we got one more award to discuss before the break here, Dean.
Yep.
Defensive MVP. What are your chances?
That has to be TJ. It has to be.
Okay, so here's my counterargument. Now, again, I'm not saying TJ doesn't deserve it, but his main competition right now, Myles Garrett, who both of them have played 9 games. Garrett has 1 more tackle. He has half a sack more.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's where it gets interesting. He has 4 forced fumbles on the season. Watt has none. But Watt has an interception. Garrett has none. He has 6 passes defensed. Garrett has none. He has 14 tackles for loss. Garrett has 7. And Watt has 28 quarterback hits. Garrett has 14. He doubles him in quarterback hits and tackles for loss. While he's only down a half a sack and a single tackle, he is down 4 forced fumbles, but some of those can be attributed to loss. But when you consider what he does in the passing game, there, it weighs between those two guys. That's an interesting conversation. But then the other guy that you can't ever dismiss in this conversation is Aaron Donald,
who
is tied with T.J. Watt with 9 sacks. He has 4 less tackles. He also only has 7 tackles for loss. He also has 11 less quarterback hits on the season. He's also forced 3 fumbles here. But Aaron Donald, to me, when a defensive tackle is up there in sacks like that, that just shows that how dominant of a player they are.
It does. I feel like, though, TJ Watt is doing this on a team that's loaded with more defensive stars, and he's still shining that brightly.
Yeah.
You know, Myles Garrett's carrying the load in Cleveland. Aaron Donald, I think, is carrying the load a bit in L.A. T.J. Watt's got Dupree. You've got Tuitt. You've got Hayward. You've got Minka. You've got and he's still impacting the games the way that he is. I think I feel like of any of the awards, that one is the closest one to happening.
And it's also interesting because not too far behind them, Bud Dupree does have 7 sacks. He is tied for 8th in the NFL right now. And right behind him is Stephon Tuitt, who is tied for 12th in the NFL right now. And Tuitt, like Donald, is more of a defensive tackle. He's listed as a defensive end, but Tuitt's a defensive tackle. I don't care what anyone says. So there are your award considerations. Is Dean crazy? Am I crazy? Let us know. He's I am Dean.
Am I crazy?
He is I am Dean 16 on Twitter. At I am Dean 16 on Twitter. I'm at Carter Critiques on Twitter. You could also just talk to both of us in the Locked On Steelers group on Facebook. Again, go to Facebook, search Locked On Steelers, ask to join the group, and then I'll add you as soon as possible. But that's our awards talk for now. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we want to talk about our good old Tomlinisms, because Mike Tomlin dropped a bunch of them this week. We'll go on to that right after this. What's up, Locked On listeners? This is Chris Carter here, and I'm telling you about a new way to help get in shape that's going to motivate you by helping you hit your fitness goals, stay on task, and have you feeling great about yourself. That's because of our great sponsor, Echelon. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their all-new Stride smart treadmill. No matter what your favorite fitness activity is, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of your own home. Their world-class instructors will motivate you with thousands of daily live and on-demand studio-level classes, always available when you need them. Unlike their competitors,
Echelon is affordable for everyone, and one membership lets up to 5 family members all work out at the same time. Right now, you can try Echelon Fitness equipment at home for 30 days. Go to echelonfit.com/NFL. That's E-C-H-E-L-O-N, echelonfit.com/NFL.
Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter. Dean, we got to do Tomlisms this week.
Obviously.
We are one for one on Now, everyone knows Tomlisms, Mike Tomlin. He always says some hilarious catchphrases that become regular, or just things that you hear him say that are just hilarious. You know, you talk about saying obviously, you talk about saying, you know, my mother worked at a shipyard and she didn't get any days off, so we don't either. You know, we will unleash hell in December. He has several of them over the years. Just Google them. Today, or yesterday rather, on Tuesday, he had a run here. He had 3. And I'm going to put this up in a poll in the Facebook group, Locked On Steelers Facebook, to see which one do you guys think is the best. And Dean and I are going to go through each of them here, right here for you on the show. So, Dean, I want to get your reaction to the first one. And this was on a question asked by our good buddy, Albie Oxenrider, you know, sports journalist over there at WPXI. You know a little bit about that guy. Albie asked about, you know, what, you know, how they're preparing for a trap game. And Mike Tomlin was having none of it. He said, I'm not into the trap game discussion. I understand that this is things that you guys like to talk about, but this is the NFL. More than anything, the guys know my attitude regarding that. We are not a Big Ten team playing a MAC opponent this week. Every time we step into a stadium, we are playing professionals, players, and coaches, and we have a ridiculous level of respect for that. Write your story, follow your storylines and trap games and things of that nature. We understand we are going into Jacksonville, and that's a group that is trying to kick our butt, a professional group, a capable group, and we are prepared with that understanding. Woo, did he come with the fire for Albie?
He did. The two lines that stuck out to me there are, we're not a Big Ten team playing a MAC opponent this week, and then the write your story, follow your storylines about trap games and things of that nature. That's first of all, hilarious. Does he remember where his quarterback came from?
Yeah.
Didn't his quarterback come from the MAC?
We're joking about his quarterback, his wide receiver, the best edge rusher over the past decade, James Harrison's a MAC player. Like, half their team was from the MAC at one point. Like, which was hilarious. But yeah, I mean, that was just too funny. I like the Big Ten playing. And I say that all the time. It's not college. It's not Alabama playing.
Right. Exactly. That's why when you have a game like Dallas, it's not the end of the world. I mean, you are two pro teams playing each other. That's why pro football point spreads in double digits are rare. And it's just not – yeah, you're not going to see those blowout games and those betting lines all the time, because these are pro teams. And these are the best of the best in the NFL, no matter even on a bad NFL team. So, yeah, I understand the trap game, and I understand why he's sick of the trap game question, because of the belief, of course, that there is that Tomlin game waiting us where they play down to the competition. But that was a great reply from him.
It's a great reply from him. Now, here's two shorter replies that he gave. He was asked this question: how satisfied are you with the ball carriers? Do you think you need a change at the bell cow running back? And he simply replies, I do not. James Conner is, and we are going to get better. That's it.
Shut down.
And I mean, even beyond the shutdown, just kind of like you could tell he's tired of hearing about that. Like, when you know Mike Tomlin, when he hears a narrative that he's tired of hearing about, like the trap game, like the running backs, he is sick of it. And I bet you that means that he's in the lab, he's in the coaches meeting, the players meetings, being like, yo, get this running stuff together, guys. I know y'all can do better than that.
Yep. And it's do you think you need to change? I do not. Connor is. We're going to get better. Yep. That's it. That's all you need to know.
Yep.
I mean, he didn't need to expand on that. And it is the acknowledgement that they need to get better. And it does at least silence the doubt that, okay, oh, we're going to see more Benny Snell. Are we going to see more? No, it's James Conner, and they got to get better. And so in the unique Mike Tomlin way, he delivered the message.
He certainly did, man. I think it's really funny when he gets short with people and he delivers his point, and you could tell that, like, listen, man, like you said to Albie, like, you know, I understand you got to do your job and write your story, whatever, but this is how it is. And I'm just like, woof. Again, coming with the fire. Now, here's the last one we're going to go. Here's the third one. So we have one on James Conner, one on the trap game, and then one on Ben Roethlisberger. Because as we know, Ben Roethlisberger didn't practice at all last week going into Saturday because he couldn't, because he was away from the team. Ben Roethlisberger, after the game, joked. He was like, you know, maybe I'll talk to coach about, you know, not having to practice this week, and maybe that'll be how we go moving forward. And he laughs as he runs into the locker room after the game. And Mike Tomlin was asked about that. He said, have you had a conversation with Ben Roethlisberger about throwing less during the week after he had a great game coming off of very little practice? Mike Tomlin simply says, we did have that conversation. I'll acknowledge that, and it was a very brief one. And I will see him at practice on Thursday. That's Tomlin right there. Like, yeah, we talked and he's practicing. That's it.
That is beautiful. That is Tomlin at his finest.
Yeah, and to me, that one was less disrespectful to anyone asking the question. That was more just about, like, yeah, Ben, don't ever say that again.
Yeah. Every once in a while. He's got to either listen in or know about what they said and just roll his eyes like, oh, I'm going to get asked about that. Come on, man.
No, it's coming. I mean, you remember when Le'Veon Bell, in the year that he did come back, when he held out in 2017 and he came back, and then, like, Le'Veon Bell was doing the selfie video in the cafeteria, and he was like, the juice is back. And Mike Tomlin's like, yeah, great. Now you can answer all the questions about where you've been. And it's like you can tell. You don't like to hear having to talk about those types of things.
Or when a player says something. One of my all-time favorites, honestly. Was it Willie Parker that was complaining about not getting enough carries or something?
Yeah, we were talking about that yesterday on the show, too.
Yeah, when he said, you know, they don't have running back titles in there. They have 6 Lombardis.
When I come to work, I see 5 Lombardis. I don't see 5 rushing titles.
Titles.
That's always, right. Always a classic one. I also love this wasn't even one he said. It was one he tweeted. But D'Angelo Williams was just kind of going off on one of his tangents where he just talks about things and it's getting a little out there. He's coming after Peyton Manning. And he says, he just tweets at D'Angelo. He's like, D, quit while you're behind. And D'Angelo was like, you're right, coach, my bad. And that was it.
Yep.
When Tomlin puts his foot down, he puts his foot down.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I mean,
beautiful thing.
I mean, what was it, 7 years ago in 2013 when the offense was struggling, and then they finally broke out for a couple touchdowns against the Jets, and Emmanuel Sanders flipped into the end zone. Mike Tomlin said, yeah, you ain't going to see that anymore. And then we never saw that again until the next
game.
Like,
that's right.
When he put this foot up, there's a clip. I mean, this is also several years ago. This also might be like 7 years old now. But Maurkice Pouncey is losing it on the sideline. The team's playing poorly, and, you know, he's like yelling at everyone. He's like, come on, we got to do this. We got to do that. Ah! And he's like not focused. And Mike Tomlin gets in his face and says, look at me, look at me. And he said, I need you to lock in right now, focus. And he's like, yes, coach. And Maurkice Pouncey, all that energy, all that anger, gone. Out his brain right now, because that's what Mike Tomlin does. He don't play those games when it's time. I mean, blink and I'll cut your eyelids off. That's Mike Tomlin right there.
Nice.
Anyways, okay, so we need you, the listeners, to vote in the Locked On Steelers Facebook group. What was the best Tomlinism we heard this week? We got 3 of them, really. Before, we only had, like, really 1. This time, we've got 3 to talk about. We've got his question about his answer about the trap game, talking about, you know, we're not in the Big Ten and they're not in the MAC. Then we also have his question about James Conner saying, I do not. He is. We are going to get better. And then also we have the Ben Roethlisberger not practicing during the week joke, where he says, we did have that conversation. I acknowledge that it was a brief one, and I will see him at practice on Thursday.
Thursday.
See, that's my favorite. My winner is the Ben Roethlisberger one.
All right. I like the Mac one. That one's my favorite.
I got to say. So, okay, so those are our picks. But what are your picks, listeners? Let us know. I will post this in the group. I'll try to remind me if I don't do it. But if it's not up in the morning, please just shoot me a message or remind me, because I will try to do that as soon as I can. Sometimes, you know, we get overloaded with work. But with that, we got to cut it to a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the secondary, because I think they're playing extremely well. Before we do that, we got to hear from our great friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Built Bar is great for the health-conscious person and helps someone lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat during the day. Built Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, but high protein and high fiber, and they're great for a keto diet. Instead of when you're tired and hungry at work and you need a boost to get through the day, instead of going to the vending machine and getting those cupcakes, or those Pop-Tarts, or those potato chips, get something healthy like a Built Bar. It'll fill you up, taste great, and get you through the rest of your day with the energy that you need. And Built Bar comes in 18 amazing different flavors. Six of those new flavors are caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. You can get all those flavors by going to their website right now at BuiltBar.com. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, and you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, for $10 off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter. Now, I'm with D9 Pietro from Channel 11, WPXI in Pittsburgh. And we've got to talk about the secondary, because the Steelers right now are playing at a high level on defense. They are one of the best groups in the NFL overall. And we knew that coming in. We knew that this was going to be a talented group that was going to challenge teams. And this Bengals team, they were throwing the ball around pretty confidently coming into this week. And the Steelers really locked that down. Yeah, they got about like 200 yards to the air. But no, Joe Burrow threw no touchdown passes. Did he throw one? I think he threw one. I'm sorry. He threw one touchdown pass, but that was it. 10 points from them. Right now, the Steelers are giving up 211.3 passing yards per game. That is fifth in the NFL right now. Fifth. That's also helped them to with the current standing, where they are the third best defense when it comes to scoring. They're giving up 19 points per game. And with that, they rank pretty well when it comes to all those numbers. But, Dean, I think a huge part of it, we talk about the pass rush a lot, and we know the secondary is good, but I wanted to take a second to talk about just how good they are and what the things are that they're doing right.
Partially they do benefit from the pass rush. Sure. Let's be honest. That's always, anytime you've got a strong pass rush, and it blew my mind when Tyler Boyd said last week that all we need is 1.5 seconds more and we're going to have big plays all day on this secondary.
Yeah. Okay.
And I was like, cause we played that on the Jerome Bettis show that you see Saturday night at 7:30 on Channel 11. And when I heard it, I was like, Tyler, are you okay, buddy? Because do you understand who you're going up against right now? You know, this is not the secondary from a couple of years ago. This is an elite secondary, okay? Yeah. Nelson, Hayden, Minka and Nelson are guys, you know, when – people forget, if guys aren't getting like 10 interceptions, they think they aren't doing their job. It's because they're not being thrown to. Okay? They're trying to avoid them. Quarterbacks are trying to avoid them. And the other thing that I think is really great about not just the secondary, but the whole defense is how opportunistic they are being. And you don't just see them trying to make a hit. You see them slapping at the ball, yanking it out of people's hands. And that is discipline, that is technique, that is practice, that is commitment. And this defense has definitely got that pride. They might bend a little bit. Higgins got some big yards, okay, and he got the touchdown. They had one big play for 50 yards.
Yeah.
But they're getting the job done, and the secondary is not one to fool with. They are the real deal.
Now, you mentioned the, you know, people not being his target as much because they don't want to be messed with. Minkah Fitzpatrick right now, through 9 games, according to Pro Football Focus, now you'll see these numbers differ like on, you know, Pro Football Reference, but Pro Football Focus, PFF, I'm not a big fan of their grades, but, you know, they partner with us here at the Locked On Steelers podcast, the Locked On Podcast Network, really. I do like their advanced statistics when it comes to giving us hard numbers, like less about your opinions, more so about what are the things that you're seeing that you can give us that, that other people don't. And according to their numbers, through 9 games, only Minkah Fitzpatrick has only been targeted 8 times. Dean, they're not even throwing at him once a game right now. And in those 8 times, he's given up 4 completions for 80 yards. You're essentially saying that Minkah Fitzpatrick, who is your deep safety or your over the middle of the field cover one robber safety, is giving up less than 10 yards per game. And he has 2 interceptions. So of those 8 times they threw, 1 out of 4 times you throw this way, that man's way, it's getting picked. That's insane.
That is absolutely phenomenal. It almost sounds like he's a number one draft pick or something, right?
Oh, man. Man.
Such a great – I mean, he was like the piece, man. He was the linchpin, the made it complete. And, you know – you just look at the completeness of it. It is so – it's refreshing. Honestly, it's like the first time I feel like this about a secondary. Legitimately, honestly, since the 70s when you had like a Mel Blount and Mike Wagner and Dwayne Woodruff. And I know we have had great guys. I know we've had Rod Woods, Mike Taylor. They've all done great things. I'm not discounting them, but just the completeness of the entire unit is just phenomenal. And they're making the plays that they've got to make. And it's just not as much of a worry anymore.
And that's the other thing to mention here. Even the guys that are getting targeted aren't giving up a whole lot. Because like Joe Hayden, he's the most targeted player on the team right now. Mm-hmm. 54 targets, 28 receptions. That's a little over half. And in that, he's given up 402 passing yards and only 2 touchdowns. He also has an interception and 7 pass breakups. I mean, that's almost –
He's the old guy? He's the old guy? You're picking on the old guy? You know? And that's all you're getting?
And if he's on a number one receiver often throughout a game, that's pretty doggone good. I mean, that means that he's giving up about a little under 45 yards per game as a cornerback. And if a number one receiver, you know, or the top receivers are only getting 45-ish yards a game on you, that's a good day. He's only giving up 2 touchdowns. That's good. I mean, that's a little more than 1 over 4 every 4 games.
Here's one of the telltale signs to me. And it's something that only I would recognize. When I'm watching the game at the TV station, I'm logging the game. I'm writing down the plays that we're going to want to show later, okay? Whatever I write down when an opponent has a big play or a touchdown on passing, I write down who gets beat or who's on defense at that time. I don't keep writing down the same name over and over and over again. So they might beat Minkah once or they might beat Hayden once, but it's not – Ricardo Coakley. Okay.
It's not like they're saying, hey, that's Artie Burns, let's go after him, or Antoine
right.
or Cody.
There's no guy you can go after like that.
Right.
You can't do it.
I mean, even Steven Nelson, he's the next target. He gets 40 targets, giving up 25 catches. That's a higher reception percentage, but only 309 yards for 3 touchdowns, and he has 2 picks and a pass breakup on the year. That's still pretty doggone good. Terrell Edmonds, even 35 targets, 20 catches for 236 yards. Only 1 touchdown given up. He has 3 breakups on the season. He's played extremely well. I mean, a big thing about this, I think, Dean, is not just the fact that they're playing well, but how they're doing it is there's so much disguise going on. And I write about this for DKPittsburghSports.com in my Carter's Classroom. But there's so many times where at the start of a play, the safeties line up here, and then they move over there, and then they go over here. And it's just like, whoa. You know, like when you see the start of a play, they show cover two, they'll switch to cover one. They show cover one, they switch to cover two. You think it's cover three, it's really cover six. And they're so good at disguising that. And not just disguising it, because you can disguise it and people run to the generic area where they're supposed to be to make that disguise work. But they're disguising it and then they're running to where they know you're going to be. That shows good coaching. That shows good preparation. That shows that they're understanding the coaching. Because there's a thing a lot of people don't realize, that oftentimes the coaches say where to be and the players still don't fully grasp it. And just that depends on how good of a player they are. But they're getting it. They're applying it. And we saw it especially at work against the Bengals.
I think what you're seeing here is something that's a very important thing. And it's the mixture of coaching and coachable players.
Yes. And athletic, because, coachable players. You be coachable if you're slow.
Yes. That's correct. Because if you don't have one of those two in the mix, then you don't have the success. You look at, and just the example I'll give real quick is Chuck Knoll in the 80s. Chuck Knoll's techniques and coaching didn't change. He just didn't have the talented players or the players that were able to buy into and or execute what he wanted them to and the way he wanted them to. You have to have both. We had both in the 70s. We have both. We have both now. Mm-hmm. And in the secondary, and it's showing. And so when people are getting down on the coaches, you got to realize, first of all, I shouldn't say you don't go 16-0, but you know what I mean. You don't win every game all the time. And that's okay. And you don't shut out the opponent every week either. So it's a matter of the totality of what they do. And the totality of what they do and the numbers that you're showing us are showing that the job is getting done by this secondary. And that is refreshing to see.
I think it's refreshing too. It shows this team can put that group together. And it shows another thing that Tomlin gets annoyed about. You know, a lot of people used to say, well, he doesn't know how to make an offensive line because he inherited a rough offensive line and it stunk for a few years. And then they invested in it and it became one of the best offensive lines. And he told Stephen A. Smith about this like 3 years ago when he went on First Take. And Stephen A. Smith was like trying to do his Stephen A. Smith thing and trying to be hardcore and, you know, be like, Mike, I'm tired of you not doing enough with that secondary. You got to get that secondary together, Mike. Come on, Mike. And Mike Tomlin says, Stephen A. Smith, you used to tell me years ago about how my offensive line wasn't any good. Now I've got some offensive linemen, and now they're the best. And you don't ask me about my offensive line no more. So what I saw, I urge you to show the same caution now that you should have shown then. And Stephen A's like, oh, you got me, coach. You got me, coach. Oh. And I'm like, that's Mike Tomlin. He doesn't blink. Right. Because he doesn't have eyelids. Mm-hmm.
I might write that quote on the board at work. I mean, Blake will cut your eyelids off. I mean,
that's what he said to Mike Mitchell in the middle of that was it 17-point comeback against the Broncos or 21-point comeback against the Broncos, whatever it was in 2016. Yeah. It was ridiculous. They pulled that game out. That was an amazing game to watch. But point being, this defense has got it together, and it shows. You know, that they're being coached at a high level to play. They're being prepared at a high level. I think the only times you see mistakes are when, like, hey, they just fell asleep at a certain point or the other team beat you, because occasionally that does happen. Like we said,
it does happen. They are talented players and it's going to happen occasionally, but Tyler Boyd, you didn't make big plays all day, buddy.
Yeah. Right.
And you didn't talk after the game either.
Oh, yeah. He kind of felt that coming back to Heinz Field, where he used to make a lot of plays for Pitt, just not against.
Yep.
Dean, that was a lot of fun. Thanks so much for coming on the show. Always a love having you here, man. Please let people know where they can follow you and find more of your work.
I am Dean16 on the Twitter. And be sure to follow me there or, you know, I like to interact with people in the Locked On Steelers Facebook group. I like interacting, leaving my 2 cents in there once in a while. And anything you watch on Channel 11, I'm producing it, except this week when I'm off.
Dean gets some much deserved vacation time. Thanks to again, Dean, for coming on the show. You can follow me, Chris Carter, on Twitter at Carter Critiques. If you follow me, I'll follow you back. You can find all my work, including my Steelers film analysis, at dkpittsburghsports.com. You go to there, you sign up for $4.99 for a month-long subscription, $39.99 for a year-long subscription to get our Steelers, Pirates, Penguins, Pitt, Penn State, and Duquesne coverage. If you're a Pittsburgh person, you got to be there. You got to check that out. Then, of course, subscribe to the Locked On Steelers podcast. We're on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere podcasts are hosted. And if you can, you want to help out the show, leave us a five-star review. Do that with a positive comment. Doing that really helps out the show and gets our ratings up, gets our rankings up, and get the word out about what we're doing here as your favorite Steelers podcast. And if you leave a five-star review with a positive comment, I'll read your review as a shout-out at the end of the show, like this five-star review from Nick444, the King Man Bro, who says, awesome. Locked On Steelers is my favorite podcast for news and analysis of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Chris is very smart and entertaining. He is great at breaking down the games for someone like me who isn't tactically smart. He always has an amazing selection of guests, and he rejects Tony's opinions of Duck. Perfect. I do reject Tony's opinions often of Duck because Tony's over the top, but that's why we love him. Nick, 4-4 with the King Man Bro. Thank you so much, Nick, for your five-star review. Get your shout-out by please leaving us a five-star review, even if you've done it before. When you do it again, it still helps us out the same. Really appreciate you going on Apple Podcasts and leaving those for us. Be back in your ears tomorrow. It's Crossover Thursday. So we got our man Amp Wig from the Locked On Jaguars podcast. We talked with him during the offseason. We had a really fun conversation with him. I'm sure it's going to be another fun one tomorrow. Do tune in to the Locked On Steelers podcast then.